Good morning. Our text this morning begins in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So the first verse of today's reading is one of Jesus' most enigmatic statements. Don't give dogs what is holy. Don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. This is also one of his most well-known sayings, right? Don't cast your pearls before swine is so common. I mean, it's a common English proverb now. In short, this is an invitation to discernment. We'll talk about that a little bit today. Don't give dogs what is holy. Don't throw your pearls before pigs. The basic meaning of the proverb really hasn't changed since Jesus' time. Don't give things of value to those who are unable to value and appreciate them. Right? Jesus has, I think, some particular uses in mind of this, but that's the general meaning of the proverb. I think it helps us to understand this proverb if we understand it in light of the rest of the reading, which is why I've taken all of these things together today. Because the next verses are about asking. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks it will be opened. Jesus teaches us that our Father's gifts are many, and he's generous with them. He doesn't make you jump through hoops to receive them. All you have to do is ask for them, right? It's like if one of your kids asks you for food, right? And sometimes it seems like that's all they do, right? It's funny how God kind of works the timings of things. You know, we just happen to arrive at this passage. I was studying this passage at a time when my own children seemed to be just bottomless pits. Right? I just pull out the snow shovel and just shovel food straight into their mouths, and it just disappears into some void somewhere. And so whenever Jesus asks, which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? My son asks me for bread constantly. And Jesus is, I mean, this is an obvious point. No one who loves his child is going to hear that kind of request. Right? If your kid asks you for some toast or for a yogurt tube or for an apple or a slice of cheese, you're not going to say, hey, yeah, kid, here you go, and give him a rock or a snake or a cockroach. Aren't you glad that your father loves you? I mean, when they ask for that, you give them food because you love them, right? That means that you love giving them what they need. That's the way our Heavenly Father is with us, right? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more do you think your Father who's in heaven will give good things to those who ask him? Right? We are his children, and he loves us. It is a lesson to trust in God's goodness, to trust in his love for us, and to ask in faith for his gifts. Notice, all of this is predicated on the asking. That's the only condition here. God gives generously. What's conditional is whether or not we ask. It's also a lesson to imitate God in our own behavior. Right? That's why Jesus follows this teaching up with the golden rule. In fact, he even connects it. Right? In the ESV that I have, you know, they include the paragraph breaks, and for some reason they think that this is a paragraph break. I think they're wrong. Because Jesus uses this connective word. In the ESV, it's translated so. It's the Greek word for therefore, un. Right? Because of what you just read, this next thing that you're going to read is true. Because your Father gives good things to those who ask him, because of that, whatever you wish that others would do to you, you do likewise. Do also for them. For this is the law and the prophets. God's love and his generosity, they're at the core of the law and the prophets. God has been, you know, God taught Israel this all along, that he is merciful and gracious, and he is just waiting to bless Israel, and he's eager to bless his people. All I have to do is ask. Operate according to the same principle that he operates on, according to love and generosity. They often refuse to do that. We often refuse to do that. But because God gives his good gifts generously, we also ought to treat other people the way that we would want them to treat us. All right? And this truly includes being generous with our own good gifts, not least of which is the knowledge of the kingdom of God. So if we come back around to where we started, verse 6, don't give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. What chapter 7, verse 6 teaches us is that not all asking is alike. Not all asking is done in good faith, because not all people operate in good faith. The images that Jesus chooses here, the dog and the swine, these are some of the most derogatory images available in first century Judaism. All right, of course, swine we know are unclean animals. But the Hebrew Scriptures actually uses dogs far more often than swine to denote uncleanness and worthlessness. Right? It's used to describe people constantly in the Hebrew Scriptures. In fact, it even becomes something of a euphemism. We've talked about that, I think, in our Law of Moses class. But the law requires that unclean meats are to be thrown to the dogs. Right? Israel's not supposed to eat them, but they have these things laying around. What do you do with them? You don't just let them sit around and rot and stink up the camp. You throw them out to the dogs. And this is prescribed in the law. And so the diet of a dog consists entirely of unclean things. And we know how the law operates. If the dog is just eating unclean things, what does that make the dog? Extraordinarily unclean. And so dogs become the Hebrew Scriptures' go-to metaphor for worthless behavior. Just vile and despicable behavior. It is, for example, a biting rebuke to Ahab and Jezebel, that they are told ahead of time, Ahab, the dogs are going to lick up your blood. Jezebel, the dogs are going to eat your carcass when you die. And it happens. It is a judgment on them that they are dogs, and they're only fit to be eaten by dogs. They are unclean. Many of the Psalms include cries like what we read in Psalm 22, verse 16, for dogs have encompassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed about me. They pierced my hands and my feet. The Apostle Peter uses this same combination of hogs and dogs in describing apostates. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, he says, "For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them." What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. Jesus, here in Matthew chapter 7, is inviting us to use some discernment, and some discernment that might make us feel uncomfortable. Honestly, it probably ought to make us feel uncomfortable, especially after what we just read at the beginning of chapter 7 about specks and planks and logs in our eyes. But he is inviting us to make this uncomfortable discernment. Some asking is done in good faith. Some asking is done by children. Some asking is not in good faith. It is done by the dogs and the swine. We are to indulge the one and to guard against the other. Reject it. Now, what exactly it means to cast one's pearls before swine or to give what is holy to the dogs, it's been interpreted various ways over the course of time. I think and that's just the way the Proverbs work, right? They're open to multiple interpretations. Most modern interpreters see this as being about how some people just won't receive the gospel. And I think that's a reasonable interpretation of this. All right, Jesus elsewhere compares the kingdom to a pearl of great price. And so here he has told us not to feed pearls to pigs. Now, if someone repudiates the gospel in such a wicked and worthless way, fitting after the character of an Ahab or a Jezebel, or one of these false teachers that we read about in 2 Peter chapter 2, or someone who has gone apostate, who has tasted the good gifts of God and rejected them, if someone's acting after the behavior of the sort of person that we read about in Psalm 22, right, these dogs that encircle and encompass you. And remember, Jesus cites from this as well, and it looks forward to the crucifixion. Right, they've pierced my hands and feet. Right, if somebody's acting according to that kind of character, but perhaps Jesus is teaching here, look, if someone repudiates the gospel after that kind of character, don't persist in trying to give it to them. Right, you're beating your head against the wall. It could mean something else. Right, by the early 2nd century, some Christians at least interpreted this as being about the Lord's Supper. It's written in the 9th chapter of the Didache, "But let no one eat or drink of your Thanksgiving feast," that is the Lord's Supper, "but they who have been baptized into the name of the Lord. For concerning this, also the Lord has said, give not that which is holy to the dogs." All right, so they read this proverb from Jesus and applied it to the Lord's Supper. Give not what is holy to the dogs. In other words, don't let unbelievers take the Lord's Supper. Again, I think there are multiple ways to interpret this. But I think we're to interpret it in light of everything else that we have in this passage about asking and about giving and receiving in good faith. And what controls all of this, of course, is the golden rule. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Of course, again, in light of what we read last week about specks and logs, this is also a warning to us. If we are going to discern others, Jesus has told us we must discern ourselves first. Am I operating in good faith before the Lord? Is my heart right with God? The call today is to come to the Lord in faith, with sincerity. He is good and generous with his gifts, and he refuses no one who comes to him in faith. So we invite you to come to him in faith. Believe in the good news of Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, come to live among men, that he died for the forgiveness of your sins. Turn away from those sins. Again, that's what good faith behavior looks like. It looks at one's own sin and says, I want nothing to do with that anymore. Confess Jesus as Lord. Be baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection for the remission of your sins. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing?